Upasakas of the Western Buddhist Order. It occurred to me as I was preparing this talk that I was going to have tonight the smallest audience that I've addressed for quite a long time, especially when I think back to my recent days in India, when I was addressing hundreds, thousands, up to even 10,000 people. The present audience of round about perhaps 40 seems very small indeed. But though the smallest audience that I've addressed for quite a long time, I'm sure it's one of the very best, if not even the best, because it consists, after all, entirely of order members, entirely of members of the Western Buddhist Order. Not only that, it consists entirely of men order members. That is to say, men order members who've come here to Padmaloka for an order weekend. You've all come because you want to see one another. You've come perhaps also because you want to see me. You've come because you want to experience mutual kalyanamitrata, mutual reciprocal spiritual friendship, whether of the horizontal or the vertical variety. Preferably you want to experience both. And you've come, moreover, in fulfillment of one of the most important of the 41 conditions of the stability of the order enumerated by the Buddha himself in a well-known discourse. That condition which the Buddha in fact mentions first. That is to say, that the brethren, as the translator has it, should assemble repeatedly and in large numbers. You may remember the Buddha's exact words. He says, "So long, brethren, as the brethren shall assemble repeatedly and in large numbers, the prosperity of the brethren may be looked for, and not their decay." It's not a question of material, but rather of spiritual prosperity that it is meant here. That is to say, continued spiritual development, continued, even ever increasing, creativity, ideally irreversible creativity on everybody's part, both so-called individual and so-called collective. Well, this weekend, the brethren have assembled yet again. Not exactly in large numbers, I'm afraid, but at least they've assembled, or some of them, a reasonable number of them, have assembled. Not all of you, I know, have found it very easy to come here, very easy to get here. A few of you, perhaps one or two, have had to get away from wives and families, and a lot more have had to get away from your co-ops, which it's apparently nowadays a rather more difficult thing to do. A co-op, in fact, nowadays seems to be a very jealous mistress indeed. She appears not to tolerate any rivals. Anyway, despite the claims of wives and mistresses, both literal and metaphorical. You've all come. You've all come here together, to be together. You're all having, I hope, an intensified, a deepened experience of Kalyanamitrata, are plunging, hopefully, a little deeper than usual into the Dharma. So you've all done your part, so to speak. So I must do mine. It is, incidentally, the first men's order weekend that I've been able to attend. When the first of these men's order weekends was held, I was in India. And when the second one was held, I was still busy down in London towards the end of my 1 month stay there. But I'm very glad that it's been possible for me to be here this weekend for the third of these men's order weekends. It goes without saying, perhaps, that I consider these men's order weekends an important development in the history of the movement. So now that I am here, I must play my part. So I decided that I should give a talk, give a lecture, call it what you will. I may even say that during the last few weeks, even the last few months, I've had a particularly strong feeling to communicate the Dharma through the spoken word. I must confess, I don't feel at present, despite all the things that I thought I was going to do in the way of creative writing in the course of this summer, I don't really feel like writing very much, not even writing about the Dharma. But I do feel, in fact feel, as I've said, particularly strongly about communicating the Dharma through the spoken word, that is, say, either through the medium of a lecture or talk or a study seminar. And this, of course, may have something to do with my recent visit to India. Anyway, I've decided to give a talk, decided to give a lecture, but the question naturally arises, well, on what? There are so many possibilities. It's difficult to choose. Some of you, I know, would like to hear me speak about bodhisattvas. Others, I know, would like to hear me speak about the Abhidharma, the categories of the Abhidharma, history of the Abhidharma. What about the Yogacara? That seems to be a rather popular topic nowadays in some circles. Eh? And some of you would like to hear me speak about poems, because I believe the fundamental principles of right livelihood have not yet been fully and systematically elucidated. There's a certain amount of lingering confusion, it would seem, still. But in the end, I decided, well, only this morning, not to talk about any of these things. I decided that I was going to talk about a case of dysentery, as you've already heard. I decided to talk about this subject because they thought, to begin with, it was a very good, down-to-earth, not to say earth closet, kind of subject, with a sort of universal appeal, especially if you've been to India lately. I must also admit that I rather liked the sound of this title. I thought it wasn't like any of my previous titles. I thought it'll be a bit of a change from the spiritual this and the transcendental that, or the creative something else. I suppose you can have creative dysentery, but I also thought it would be a good idea. I thought, you know, this title would look good in our printed Dharma Chakra Tape. It might, with luck, raise a few elderly eyebrows. Some people might even think that there'd been a dreadful printing mistake, or else some deplorable lapse of good taste. Others might think that this title, A Case of Dysentery, must be symbolical. Not to say mythic. But there's nothing symbolical about it. I really am going to speak about A Case of Dysentery in the quite literal sense.